The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
I was driving past a solar farm the other day. You know, thousands of panels, all tilted towards the sun. It's this incredible symbol of progress, right? A clean, sustainable future laid out right in front of you.
It is. But that image, it's stuck with me for a different reason lately. I have a smart meter. I try to be conscious of my energy use, and I've always seen that technology as purely a force for good. But then you start digging, and you realize every single one of those panels, every smart meter, every turbine, is a node on a network.
And every node is a potential door, a way in.
Exactly. A door that someone, somewhere, can buy a key for on the dark web. That's what I can't shake. This idea that the very grid we're building to save ourselves has this built-in, invisible vulnerability.
It's a chilling thought. What happens when the blueprint for our green future is being traded in the darkest corners of the internet? That's the question that's been driving me. And it's what we're here to explore.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Mark. Welcome to the Invisible Green Grid.
Today, we're venturing into a place most people never see, to investigate a connection that could have profound consequences for all of us, the intersection of the renewable energy industry and the dark web.
We're not just talking about theory. We're talking about active threats, from cybercriminals hacking into wind farms and solar arrays to sophisticated actors manipulating the energy markets for immense profit.
And later in the show, we'll hear from people who have seen this world from the inside, cybersecurity experts who defend our infrastructure, and even former insiders who know just how these dark web economies function. It's a side of the green revolution you've never seen before.
So, to really grasp this, we have to stop thinking about a single massive attack, like someone flipping a giant switch and turning off a city. That's the movie version.
Right. It's not that dramatic.
It's often much quieter, more insidious. The security experts we spoke to, they talk about something called the attack surface. And with renewables, that surface area has just exploded. Think about it. A traditional power plant is one location. It's a fortress, heavily guarded, physically and digitally.
But a solar farm? ...
A solar farm is thousands of individual panels, hundreds of inverters, dozens of sensors, all spread out over acres. And each one is a potential way in. It's not a fortress. It's a sprawling, interconnected village with no fences.
And a lot of those components, they're not built by the big energy companies, are they? They're sourced from all over the world, from countless different manufacturers.
That's the core of the problem. You have this complex patchwork of technology, and the security is only as strong as its weakest link. We talked to a penetration tester. That's a professional hacker, basically, hired to find these weaknesses. She told us the first place she looks isn't the main control system.
No? Where? Then?
She looks for the forgotten things. The weather station that monitors wind speed for a turbine farm. The small diagnostic port on a solar inverter. Things that were installed with a default password, like admin123, and were just never changed.
Oh, wow. So you're saying the key to disrupting a multi-million dollar wind farm could be a password that's barely a step up from password?
In many cases, yes. And once you're in, through that weather station, you're on the local network. You're inside the village. From there, you can move around, listen, and map everything out. You can find your way to the systems that actually control the flow of energy.
So the initial goal isn't even sabotage. It's reconnaissance.
It's about getting a foothold. And that foothold, that digital key, is a commodity. We found active listings on dark web forums. Not for control of the entire grid, but for something much smaller. A listing might say, verified access to North American solar farm inverter network. 24-hour access.
That's terrifyingly specific. And for what? A few thousand dollars? Someone can buy a key to a piece of our critical infrastructure?
They can buy the opportunity. And the buyers aren't always looking to cause a blackout. Think about the energy market. It's traded like a stock. If you can manipulate the supply, even slightly, you can make a fortune.
Wait, how would that work? if you have access to an inverter network.
You don't have to shut it down. You could just subtly degrade its performance. Make a whole section of a solar farm report that it's producing 10% less energy than it actually is. The grid operator sees a dip in supply. The price of electricity ticks up for a few hours.
And if you've placed a bet on that price increase ahead of time,
you've just made a huge profit with an attack that is, for all intents and purposes, invisible. No alarms go off. No one suspects a thing. They just think it was a cloudier-than-expected afternoon in Arizona.
That's a level of sophistication that goes way beyond simple vandalism. It's weaponizing our own green infrastructure against our economy. And it's all being enabled by these hidden marketplaces.
And it's the structure of those marketplaces that's, well, it's disturbingly professional. It's not some chaotic free-for-all. There are seller ratings, reputation scores, escrow services to make sure the buyer gets what they paid for, and the seller gets their crypto.
Like an Amazon for cybercrime.
Precisely. You can read reviews on a seller who specializes in access to, say, European wind turbine control systems. A-plus seller. Access worked as described. Would buy again. It's surreal.
So who are the buyers? Who is shopping in this terrifying marketplace? Is it just people looking to manipulate energy prices, like you said?
That's a big part of it. The financially motivated actors. But they're not the only customers. We spoke to a former analyst from the Department of Homeland Security, and she broke it down into a few key groups. You have the market manipulators, yes, but you also have state-sponsored groups.
From countries like...
The usual suspects you'd imagine. For them, it's not about making a quick buck on the energy market. It's about something far more strategic. It's about reconnaissance. It's about mapping our infrastructure.
Just seeing what's there, what they could do?
And pre-positioning. Planting digital sleeper agents inside the grid. Malware that can lie dormant for months, even years, completely undetected. It's the digital equivalent of placing an explosive charge on a bridge and just walking away, waiting for the order to detonate it.
That feels like a whole different level of threat. It's not about money anymore. It's about leverage. It's about holding a piece of our future hostage.
It is. And the scary part is, the access they buy might be cheap. That 0.2 Bitcoin key to a solar farm, a nation-state can afford that. It's a rounding error in their intelligence budget. They buy that initial low-level access and then use their own sophisticated tools to burrow deeper and deeper until they're sitting right next to the master controls.
Okay, but I have to ask. Surely these massive multi-billion-dollar energy companies know this is happening. They must have armies of cybersecurity people working to stop this, right? It can't be as simple as just buying a key online.
You would think so, and they do have defenses, very strong ones, around their core systems. But remember what we said about the attack surface? The sprawling village?
The weather station with the default password.
Exactly, but it's even more insidious than that. The biggest vulnerability isn't always a piece of hardware. It's a person. One of the experts we interviewed, a guy who runs these penetration tests, told us his most reliable way into a network isn't through a forgotten port. It's through an email.
A phishing email?
A carefully crafted phishing email, sent to a junior maintenance technician working for a third-party contractor who services the solar farm's inverters. The email looks like it's from his HR department, asking him to update his payroll information. He clicks the link, enters his password, and that's it.
Oh, no.
That's it. The attackers now have his credentials. And because he's a contractor, his login might have access to dozens of different sites. They're not just inside one village anymore. They have a key that opens the gates to the whole county.
So the entire security of a power grid could be compromised because one person, probably overworked and not thinking, clicked on the wrong link.
It happens every single day. The technology is one thing, but the human system, that's infinitely harder to secure. You can't patch people against a moment of distraction.
That's what's really chilling about this. It's not some abstract technological battle. It comes down to human fallibility. The weakest link isn't a piece of code. It's us.
And that's the paradox we're left with, isn't it? We're building this decentralized, green, beautiful future. And its very design, the thing that makes it so resilient in some ways also makes it catastrophically fragile in others.
So what's the answer? Do we just stop? Do we go back to the fortress model of a few big, easily guarded power plants?
No, I don't think that's an option. The momentum is too great, and the climate imperative is too real. The people we talk to, the ones on the front lines of this, they're not giving up. They're pushing for a complete shift in security culture.
From patching technology to what? Training people not to click on links?
It's more than that. It's about designing systems with the assumption that people will make mistakes. It's about building networks that can isolate a breach the moment it happens. So when that technician's login is compromised, the system automatically walls off his access to everything but the one specific inverter he's supposed to be fixing that day.
Containing the blast radius, basically.
Exactly. It's a move from trying to build an impenetrable wall to assuming the enemy is already inside and being ready to fight them room by room. But the scale of that, it's immense. And it requires a level of investment and coordination that, frankly, isn't happening fast enough.
That's the part that stays with me. The feeling that we're in a race. We're racing to build this new green grid to save us from one existential threat, climate change, while a completely different kind of threat is racing to embed itself within the very foundations of that salvation.
For me, the biggest takeaway is that the image of that solar farm, it's forever changed. I used to see it as a symbol of a clean, simple solution. Now I see the complexity. I see the thousands of digital doors. And I realize that the fight for a sustainable future isn't just about carbon and kilowatts.
Yeah, my final thought is a little different. I keep coming back to that dark web listing. Verified access, 0.2 Bitcoin. It's the banality of it. The idea that our collective future, this massive critical infrastructure, is being chopped up and sold in these tiny transactional pieces. It's not one big red button. It's 1,000 tiny vulnerabilities, sold for a price.
And it leaves you with the question we started with, but in a new light. What happens when the blueprint for our green future is not just for sale, but is being sold off, piece by piece, every single day?
It's a question we all need to be asking. Thank you for joining us on the Invisible Green Grid.